B-Pod Studios.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop. There.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Bergeron shoots, he scores from long range. Bergeron may have used the D as a screen, and he rips it inside the top far corner. 2-0 Bruins.
Bruins looking pretty good last night. Bergeron with the game insurance goal there. Not the winner, as they got a 2-0 win over Philadelphia last night. Good team playing well. Win streak. Didn't bother the Bruins. Despite having lost to the Lightning, team that they're most likely going to face, collision course, second round of the playoffs. They've got everything cooking right now. They're firing on all cylinders. Bruins looking very good last night. So,
yeah, they were.
And I mean, nothing to indicate that anything is not going their way right now. So, maybe Nick Ritchie hasn't done enough. I think he's been a nice addition to the squad.
McAvoy's turned some things around.
Thank you.
His numbers last couple games.
Right.
But I mean, the bigger part and the bigger story of when you get into the playoffs and you start settling down and you're getting all your ducks in order, you go, how's your goalie playing? That's a good rebound game right there. Bounce back game from Rask. Told you after the game Saturday, yeah, bad day. What are you going to do? Those come. I'll be ready to go next time. And he was. And that's a good sign for this team moving forward. Rask was damn good last night.
So now it's coming down to, once again, you're going to find Bruins fans and people watching the team in two camps. Those who trust Tuukka Rask in the postseason. The way the team is playing right now and the way that he has played for huge chunks of regular seasons now and in the past. What happens in the postseason? Now, people are all too quick to look past how he played for the majority of the last postseason. They look at a couple of goals they didn't like and that unfortunately came in big spots and point to that and say, see, he can't do it. You can't win with him. He doesn't have the makeup to win it all for you at the end. And wasn't all on him. His top line went AWOL for a good chunk of the postseason last year. And you had breakdowns too, not just from scoring from that top line. They won't even get to Brad Marchand deciding to make a change when a guy is entering there, when the guy from St. Louis is coming into your zone, and you decide now's a good time to get off let him go in unencumbered.
And you remember a couple of years where Tuukka got nicked up or he had the groin and it just wasn't the same. And it's good to know that you got a guy in Halak that, say something does happen injury-wise, or that, you know, say he takes a whack to the head like he did a couple games ago. And, okay, something's back here. I need to go on concussion thing. That you've got a guy like Halak that you can trust. That's the best thing for this team going forward.
Yeah.
I think we're not talking about flipping. I mean, Billy put that to rest, too, with us.
Well, if nothing else, you got a guy who can absolutely keep this team together and keep them playing well and keep the rhythm going for the other lines and for the defensemen if Tuukka is going to get his rest before the playoffs begin. Everything seems to be turning their way. I love how the Bruins looked last night, how they look right now, and how things look as they get ready to go into the postseason. The Celtics also got a win last night, and they got a win over a pretty good Indiana Pacers team. And they've got some weapons on that Pacers team.
Yeah, Stevens likes the Pacers. Remember last time they played the Pacers? Like, you guys don't sleep on this Pacers team. They're pretty damn good.
Yeah. I mean, Oladipo's legit. That's a good team. But you were up on them 19 in the fourth quarter last night. And you allowed them to come back and take the lead in a game by allowing them to go on a 20-2 run.
So is that coaching and rotations? Or is it, well, we're not working hard enough at this at practices. We're not talking through this enough at film sessions or walkthroughs or whatever the hell they do. Because you just don't forget how to do that as a player. Like, you're up that big. Okay, so you got to call timeout and do something. You got to make adjustments. And maybe he doesn't believe in certain rotations. Maybe that's the biggest part of it, of putting certain guys in. You know? Are you going to put Enos Kanter in? Bad defense? Or, I mean, you know, like, he's like, well, I can't put shooters in. Danny didn't get many shooters. We're waiting for Kemba to get healthy, waiting for, you know, Jaylen Brown to get healthy. God forbid Tatum gets necked. I guarantee you Hayward will have something else pop up before the end of the year.
Like, unfortunately, yeah, I don't think it's because
we keep talking about health
else,
too. I don't know if this team will be fully 100% healthy at the same time ever.
That's issue number one. And issue number two, all the guys you just mentioned, with the exception of Jason Tatum, So I wonder if any one of those guys believes in themselves enough. I tell you, the two guys who do, it's Jason Tatum and Marcus Smart.
That's it.
They believe in themselves enough to take things into their own hands at the end of a game. And I love Marcus Smart. And just when you think you don't want him to do it, he's the guy that will sink a big three after he's missed two in a row and you know, steal some wins for you. But I'll take that. As long as there are two or three other guys who have a little better shooting touch and a little more, I guess, confidence in their game. And right now, it's only Jason Tatum. I mean, how does Gordon Hayward not feel comfortable being out there and trying to take a game over in the closing seconds? You know, we want to see that from Jaylen Brown, and people will argue. There were people arguing that he was the better of the two between him and Tatum up until Tatum had this year. But is it only injuries? And if Kemba Walker is going to be a facilitator out there, that's fine. But he's better than that. He doesn't just have to be the facilitator guy. You should have three other guys out there who are feeling good enough about themselves and their game to where this shouldn't be an issue at the end of games. And yet it continues to be an issue. Even in games that they win, close games at the end, I did not feel great about that last night. No. Steven said it was good to have it happen to them. They got a lot of games left, and they're still on their ascension, and they still need to get better before the postseason begins. So he was happy that they blew the lead last night, but still held on to win. I understand what he's saying. Experience that. Know what that feels like. Hopefully you don't like it. You don't like putting yourselves in that position where it has to happen right. again. And I got to tell you, if it were to happen again, are you going to rely on Marcus Smart and his bank shot?
No.
And his two free throws?
No.
To seal victory for you?
No.
Doesn't seem like a great recipe.
So hold on to Lynn. Let's go to Richie and Lynn. What do you got, Richie?
Oh.
Hi, guys.
What's up? What do you got on Celtics?
Yeah, pretty much right now, the last couple of years, Brad Stevens is getting pretty much just being a scapegoat. He's not getting put as the guy that's making all the problems right now with this team. They have the talent. They were able to win a certain amount of games. It comes to a certain point where you need your head coach to be that guy that gets everyone together to get you over that hump. And I feel like he's not getting enough criticism that he is the problem. His rotations have to be off. This bench, yeah, the bench was good last year. Now the bench is not good this year. So you've seen what pros and cons of the Celtics, both good and bad. And he can't fix it. He cannot fix it whatsoever. And he's getting no criticism whatsoever. I really think it's time to get a coaching change.
Well, stop that now, Rich. Come on. And thanks for the call. But you can question timeouts, not taking timeouts. Going back to what the hell game was that? Was it the Brooklyn game? The big collapse. Well, that thing was over. There was one. I can't remember which game. Right at the end. And Stevens maybe.
Talking about OKC.
Thank you. Yeah. Like, that's the type of stuff I think you could question. Because I think once they get into a series in the playoffs, that's where you ain't getting rid of this coach. This guy's as good as any adapting game to game to game. You know what happened in Milwaukee last year. Remember that? Did adapt well there. That's just a pure talent thing. Right now, I think they're struggling to get a real lineup together for him so he could do his stuff. You know?
The lineup is what it is.
It's not going to change. There's no new bodies coming through the door. It's after March 1st.
Of course
not. You're not signing anybody off expiring. You're not doing that.
So when we talk to Brad Stevens coming up here at 12:50, we're going to have to ask him, how does this ascension work? You know, you talked about the ascension for this team in the remainder of the regular season going into the postseason. Who and what needs to get better? And are we approaching the point where it's too late for that? Oh, you can always get better. You can always improve. Okay, but really, how much is going to change with this team and the way you play between now and then that will make a difference in the postseason? Because when I watch last night and I watch what happened against Oklahoma City, Houston's a good team. I didn't think it was bad to take a loss against them. But when it comes right around the same time, you blow that game against Brooklyn and you lose another tight one and you blow a lead like you did last night, it makes me wonder if you've really got the inherent talent and everything in place and the confidence that it's going to take to win these games in the postseason. That's what I wonder. So do you want to talk about the proposed rule changes in the NFL? We skipped past that. We were going to try and get to it.
Yeah, we got to touch on it
earlier. Okay. We'll get to that. We also have to find out what happened, what's happening in McCone's newsroom down in Providence as the coronavirus.
How many people actually work there? McCone.
A lot.
You know how TV is.
Some stations they only have like three or four there on the floor at one time.
I bet there's 25 people in there for your show.
Yeah, something like that. There's a fair.
Do you have a parking lot, like a metered parking lot?
No. Everyone has to park out on the side of the street.
No, do you have like on street parking?
We don't have a protected lot, but
like,
that's
say I didn't like something you said on the news. I can come down there and find you.
Yeah, that's kind of an issue, honestly. Yeah,
it's kind of cool. We're protected.
You're probably happy you brought it up.
I find you.
I could see someone impersonating Tim McCone. Acting as a Tim McCone imposter, trying to go around town, get
a couple free desserts out of it.
Yeah, why not?
I don't know how you bring that up casually at the TGI Fridays. That's my question. Like, how do you slip that in and drop that into conversation?
Well, you do two things. Well, A, it's a birthday. Like, they'll give you a free one.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, impersonate Hardy.
Proposed rule changes in the NFL. There's one or two not bad. There's a couple I absolutely hate. And a couple I don't understand, so you're going to have to explain them to me, Zoe, coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop, flop, flop.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Bergeron shoots, he scores from long range. Bergeron may have used the D as a screen, and he rips it inside the top far corner. 2-0 Bruins.
Bruins looking pretty good last night. Bergeron with the game. Insurance goal there, not the winner, as they got a 2-0 win over Philadelphia last night. Good team playing well, win streak. Didn't bother the Bruins, despite having lost to the Lightning, team that they're most likely going to face. Collision course, second round of the playoffs. They've got everything cooking right now. They're firing on all cylinders. Bruins looking very good last night. So
yeah, they were.
And I mean, nothing to indicate that anything is not going their way right now. So. Maybe Nick Ritchie hasn't done enough. I think he's been a nice addition to the squad.
McAvoy's turned some things around.
Thank you.
His numbers last couple games.
Right.
But I mean, the bigger part and the bigger story of when you get into the playoffs and you start settling down and you're getting all your ducks in order, how's your goalie playing? That's a good rebound game right there. Bounce back game from Rask. Told you after the game Saturday, yeah, man, bad day. What are you going to do? Those come. I'll be ready to go next time. And he was. And that's a good sign for this team moving forward. Rask was damn good last night.
So now it's coming down to, once again, you're going to find Bruins fans and people watching the team in two camps. Those who trust Tuukka Rask in the postseason, the way the team is playing right now and the way that he has played for huge chunks of regular seasons.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Zoe and Beetle in the office.
It's like a sweater without nipple covers.
In the car.
You smell bacon?
In the truck.
I'm definitely not stupid, Harvey.
Getting you through your work day on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Zolak and Bertrand Hardy and for Beetle here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Brad Stevens comes on with us at 12:50 today. Tim McCone will tell us what's happening with the coronavirus down in the newsroom. But first, we have the rule change proposals from four different teams here, Zoe, for the upcoming NFL season. Okay?
Yeah.
So we are going to take these one by one. I have questions for you on all of them. Here we go. Number one, the Philadelphia Eagles propose that they modify the blindside block rule to prevent unnecessary fouls.
I agree with this.
Why do you agree with it?
There were several times that we even got called from one last year where you're talking about the really, really egregious ones. And there was a flag thrown. I remember it was downfield. And the guy just starts to turn into him. And what they want to completely eliminate, which I agree with, bring a guy from the outside, bring him down in motion in that crackback block where you get ear hold from the side. And nobody sees it coming and almost knocks your head off. There are times where you're in a kick return. I think this was during a kick return. And the guy's running down, and he's scrambling. He's trying to get through coverage. The body turns as you're avoiding defenders and guys trying to block you. And some other guy comes in from the side, hits him, and they called it an illegal, unnecessary roughness crackback block. That's not what that is for. So this is what I think is an adjustment in the rule. So it must have been happening more with them, and this is why it's proposed by the Eagles.
I agree with you 100%.
It was
over-officiated.
It was way over-officiated. I even remember the lowering the helmet. Remember when Jordan Richards, of all people, had the perfect tackle of all tackles where he squared up, kept his head to one side, wrapped and put, leading with the head of his... No, get the call right. Let's have the ability to look at it, minimize that rule, and not over-officiate illegal blocks in the side.
Very good. All right. So we are, as Fred Durst once said... in agreeance.
Did it all for the nookie.
On the modifying the blindside block rule to prevent unnecessary fouls. Number two, make permanent the expansion of automatic replay reviews to include scoring plays and turnovers negated by a foul and any successful or unsuccessful try attempt.
Ooh, okay. Now, first of all, I want to go back to... the blindside block. Do you know how we were taught that when we were kids? We were playing Pop Warner, and that we would throw body blocks where you would come running in, and it's almost like a cartwheel. You put your hands down, and you take the whole side of your body and your legs and wipe the guy out in the side of the line. And we actually had to stand there while guys did this to us. We were the blocking dummies. So the game has changed. We've come a long way in football. Okay, so once again,
make permanent the expansion of automatic replay reviews to include scoring plays and turnovers negated by a foul and any successful or unsuccessful try attempt.
I like that.
You do?
I do like that.
What constitutes a try attempt?
A PAT.
Yeah. Okay.
Or a
two-point conversion. Okay?
Yeah.
So if they don't get in... Mm-hmm. You still have to review it?
Okay, did the guy push the guy out of bounds prior to him getting his feet down? Like, that type of stuff. Was there a hold that they missed? And the ball was thrown way... He grabbed the guy's hands, and the ball was thrown way out of bounds. And whoa, he had a chance to catch that.
So does that mean, too, that they would review the N'Keal Harry play from last year now?
Yes.
Under that?
No. That doesn't change anything because it was under 4 minutes. Yeah, we're out of challenges. If you're out of challenges, you're out of challenges. That's how bad that referee crew was because you had to use your challenges prior to it. No, that would not change that Harry play, I don't think. That's a non-scoring.
It's a scoring play, right? Like he got into the end zone.
My problem with this rule is I understand what they're trying to do. It doesn't fix the problem, okay? Say, for instance, and Zoe will remember this perfectly. There was a Patriots play. It was late in the season. I believe it was a fumble recovery. Ball was picked up, scooped, scored. I don't know if it was
McCourty.
Stephon Gilmore.
McCourty
right?
hit Kelsey.
I thought it was Gilmore.
McCourty hit Kelsey. Gilmore scooped it up, was running. They blew the whistle dead.
Right.
So he would have scored. They ended up giving the Patriots. Yes, it's a fumble. You get the ball.
But you don't get the touchdown.
Hold on a second. What are they going to give him the touchdown?
You can't, though, right?
Because they blew the play dead. Yeah. That doesn't solve the issue. Everyone wants it to solve that issue.
How about this?
It doesn't solve that issue. Because when the whistle blows or you see the flag, a lot of guys stop playing. Not everybody plays the whistle. Whatever. The play was over.
Yeah.
How about this? Eat the whistle. Eat the whistle a little.
Why are you even? Yeah, just let it go.
Because it was a hell of a tackle, and it looked like, boom, it looked like he was down.
If you propose a rule that says refs have to eat the whistle, I'll vote for it. I'd rather them eat the whistle than try and officiate something that is a quote-unquote scoring play. Otherwise, you're just going to have guys running back every turnover that might be played. Well, it could be reviewed.
Yeah.
So you're going to have guys running all over the place and extending plays. It's going to drag the game out which I also don't like. All right, here's another one. These are all by the Eagles so far. Provide an alternative to the onside kick that would allow a team who is trailing in the game an opportunity. This is sounding like Wiggy. Who is trailing in the game an opportunity to maintain possession of the ball after scoring 4th and 15 from the kicking team's 25-yard line.
No. This is ridiculous. You're ruining the game now.
It's an alternative to the onside kick that will allow a team who's trailing in the game an opportunity to maintain possession of the ball after scoring 4th and 15 from the kicking team's 25-yard line.
I want onside kick. I want to see that guy just get drilled.
They don't. The new onside kick sucks.
They can't run. They can't get a running start.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's the alternative to them not getting a running start, is you have the option of doing that.
I don't like it. 4th and 15.
What do you have a better odds, getting the new onside kick or getting a 4th and 15 to keep the ball?
4th and 15.
4th and 15.
Yeah.
Way better. What? You're trying to level the playing field? You're handicapping the game now for the team that's behind? What are you doing? No. Yeah, you got to work really, really hard to get the ball twice in a row.
How about we let the kicking team run? Just let them run.
Yeah, go back to the old way.
Yeah. Go back to the old way.
Restore preseason and regular season overtime to 15 minutes and implement rules to minimize the impact of the overtime coin toss. I don't understand it either.
What? So just play 15 minutes and then whoever's up at the end. So you're playing 15 minutes regardless.
What are the rules to minimize the impact of the overtime coin toss? What? Make the coin softer so it doesn't make a dent in the grass? That kind of an impact? What? What are you doing? What are we talking about? Now, just playing for 15 more minutes? Okay. There might be something to that. And if it ends in a tie, it ends in a tie. We've seen games end in ties in the last couple of seasons.
So basically that rule is move it from 10 minutes to 15 minutes and make it better.
Yeah.
With no details.
But right. Are we still doing you score a touchdown on your first possession, the game is over?
No, I think they're just going, we're playing for 15 minutes. Whoever's up.
Yeah. Well, I wish they would say. Yeah. All right, moving on to the Dolphins' proposals here. Provide the option to the defense for the game clock to start on the referee's signal if the defense declines an offensive penalty that occurs late in either half.
No. That's it.
No. Why are we playing the game differently at the end of halves than we are for the rest of the game? Why are we doing this?
I don't know, because the double score is there for people too.
And once again, to benefit the team that's behind.
I like the next one.
Provide the option to the defense for the game clock to start on the referee's signal if the defense declines an offensive penalty that occurs late in either half. No.
Well, what you're trying to get away from is that Belichick loophole, right?
That's what Vrabel did to you.
Off the punt, yeah. Right?
No, because that's not at the end. That's over 5 minutes.
Okay. You sure? Because I think the Tennessee one was under. Tennessee one was under. They were killing time there at the end. Just trying to screw them.
No, as long as the play starts over 5 minutes on the clock.
Okay.
Once it's under five, it's like out of bounds. Out of bounds doesn't stop the clock until under 5 minutes in the game.
Right.
And under 2 minutes and a half.
All right, moving on to the Baltimore.
They make this so damn confusing.
Right?
Yeah.
The refs can't get the calls right as they are.
Which leads us to the next potential rule change.
So this from the Ravens and the Chargers. Number one, add a booth umpire as an eighth game official to the officiating crew.
Add three. Well, add them and take Jerome Boger off.
Oh my God.
Off his uniform. I'm calling this the sky judge rule. Jim, is this a sky judge?
Yeah.
Sky judge. Booth umpire. Eighth game official to the officiating crew. Okay, good. Put somebody in the booth. Let them look.
But the sky judge would have the ability to buzz down and stop any play. I don't know if that's part of that rule.
Okay.
Or maybe it's the start of getting it down the road to be that.
Fine.
Maybe it's the you do that first, and then you can get the next one next year.
Yeah, spoon feed us. And here's one that's got a fancy name. Add a senior technology advisor to the referee to assist the officiating crew. Huh?
No!
What? What?
Now we're bringing senior technology guys to the referee.
And a guy up in the booth that can quickly quickly do the replays back and forth, back and forth. Is that what they're talking about?
They tell me.
They do this in the truck.
Technical advisor.
It's already built in the truck. The production truck does it. They got it. I'm watching the feeds on replays right away. We get what the TV gets.
Yeah, but the referees want to look at specific things. Maybe there's a guy that's a tech guy that can quickly do that, and the referee's standing behind him saying, okay, here's where the play is.
Why can't
but who's
combo
doing that now?
Why can't that be a combo of that eighth official up in the booth?
The people from New York do it now, don't they?
Yeah.
They have that replay center in New York that does it now.
So
they have those guys. They're just not in stadiums.
What difference does it make if they're in the stadium?
Because then they can't make them work three games in a day. They're not working a 1 o'clock, a 4 o'clock, and the night game. They have a specific guy that's in the stadium. Right now, they don't have enough employees to do that. They don't employ enough people.
All right. Well, that is why they want to add a booth umpire as an eighth game official to the officiating crew. That I get. If it's going to make the replay and review go faster, then I'm all for it. I just want to know what a senior technology advisor is. And I would also like to know the parameters of the booth umpire's powers.
Right now, it's just a bunch of tech guys and Al Riveron walking from TV to TV if there's nine games going on, trying to do everything at once. It's billions, insanity right now.
So this industry has made billions of dollars. And they can't figure out how to judge a replay screen on a certain game where you've got, wouldn't be 16 games going on because you'd have buys and, you know, you have Thursday night, Monday night, Sunday night football. Jesus, what, 12 games? You can't have 12 guys sitting there monitoring every freaking ESPN booth. McCone, you've been at college games. You see them, people sit there and stare at booths, stare at games. You can't hire.
There's 32 teams. You need 16 guys. There's 16 games a weekend if there's no buys. You need 16 bodies if they're working one game per week.
And here's the other thing on the booth umpire.
So you pay them what? A grand each? Sit there for 3 hours? A tech guy?
Is the booth umpire...
I do it for a grand.
See?
Essentially doing the same job as the umpire on the field, but just with a bird's eye view? Is he...
Well, no, he's not also trying to referee the game as it's going on. He can look at the TV the whole time. He can look at the monitor the whole time while they're doing the huddle, while they're doing the substitutions and all that, and say, oh, look at that. I'm going to buzz down. Instead of relying on New York to do that.
All right.
I think they want to do it in stadium versus New York buzzing in, right? That's what it sounds like.
I just wonder because, you know, all these guys line up in different positions, whether you're a linesman or you're the ref or you're the back judge or you're the umpire. When you say booth umpire, are they just saying booth official, or is it a doubling up of the umpire's duties and looking at what he's looking at, or she? You understand what I'm saying?
Extra help in the sky. Like if you see a receiver running and, oh, man, he got grabbed at the 10. You missed that call.
Okay. All right.
You know?
Oh, so you don't think it's looking on TV? You think it's looking actually like...
I think it's looking live feed, live game. Yeah. I'm up here to help you. Eye in the sky.
All right, we're going to find out from Tim McCone what's happening.
Real quick, you know what all this tells you? The referees are really, really bad in this league, and it is trending poorly for them. They're trying to fix something. It's a problem.
It is a problem. We got a couple of calls on this, and we're going to find out from McCone what's happening down in the News 10, right?
Yeah,
NBC 10.
There you go.
NBC 10 Providence newsroom, where the biggest indicator of something important is happening, the color of the lights. We'll have McCone explain it to us next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
An app. First, our introduction.
Zolak, Bertrand.
Double whammy.
Zolak and Bertrand. Continues 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I read
about a lucky man who made the grade.
Oh, I heard the news. Tim McCone, NBC 10 News.
Oh.
Is that why, Jim?
Yeah, Brett's down there. Totally do. Well, I just had
to learn. What's up, McCone?
All right, we're going to find out from McCone. We're getting a couple of calls. A couple of calls real quick. All right. Ron, new rules in the NFL. What do you think?
Good morning, guys.
Hi.
Good afternoon.
Really quick, I had a radical idea. I mean, the NFL is all, in regards to the referees, the NFL is fine.
There's something you should be addressing. Something you should be addressing right now?
Absolutely.
Okay, now it sounds like you're going into AFib.
All right?
Or DFib.
I apologize.
All right.
Is that still on?
There we go. Now it's a very good. All right, what now?
I apologize, guys. Really quick, in regards to the referee situation, the NFL fines everybody. It fines owners, it fines players, it fines coaches. Why don't we look at fining these referees for making bad calls? Something to put in their minds.
Yeah, I mean, they get docked. They get graded docked playoff games.
Yeah, but we need to make it more strenuous then.
I agree. I mean,
obviously, that's not enough. So, or...
You know what, Ron?
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I don't disagree with you, but the issue is that even if you fine them and punish them, the game is too fast, not just for them. I don't want to get into something that's going to sound ageist here, because believe me, I can't go out there and keep up with these guys, but there are guys 20 years older than me who are out there, and they're tasked with following this game and watching this game and running up and down the field. I don't know that any form of punishment is going to make them any better. They just can't do it. I don't.
You know what?
Go ahead.
I honestly completely believe you, and that was going to be my second suggestion in regards to this, is the game has changed. People are faster. These guys move quicker. Everything is different. The game, they want the game faster. Why don't we just double the referee crew? Put more refs out there. Obviously, these guys can't see everything, and maybe we're blaming them for something that's out of their realm.
All right. I mean, at some point, you're going to run out of space for all those guys out on the field. You can't have that many guys out there. Tim and Quincy, what do you think, Tim?
You're right. It is an ageist proposition. Booger is, I think so. He's 65 years old with a 44-inch waistline. They're too old. They're too slow. Why can't we get younger referees?
I don't know. The phone was killing me, though.
I think he's talking about Booger, not Booger.
The older referees, the ones in the white hats, are the older gentlemen. Stertor, kind of young, but he was getting up there. He ended up going to the booth. Tony Corrente, remember Walt Coleman? I mean, there's some old guys that have been around for a while. The younger ones are mostly, on the sides, or they're down back judges. But the older gentlemen are usually the ones that are the most vested, and they become heads of those crews.
All right. Tim McCone, member of the NBC 10 Providence news team.
Yeah.
And on the sports team, but also part of the coronavirus coverage.
Team 10 coverage yesterday, yeah.
Jim Louth.
So it's a pandemic now. What do we got? What do you got there, McCone?
I think we're going to have wall-to-wall coverage again tonight at 6.
Yeah. Wow. More news.
Jim Louth witnessed it last night. He is very impressed with your work on the coverage. What was the first indicator to you that this was serious when you showed up in the newsroom?
Oh, I'll tell you what. You walk out on the set, and you can tell by the
lights.
So
anybody can just walk it. So I could come down there, since you have no parking or gate there, and I could just go right through that front door.
Unfortunately, no. Yeah, you probably could, which no, is a little terrifying.
Nice.
You're
inviting people down.
Let me help you out
any
here.
Any tours you want?
Yeah, live absolutely. Broadcast. Yeah.
No tours. We got that email yesterday. No more tours.
Oh, have those been banned, really?
No, yes, they've been banned.
That's here, not down here, please.
I'm sure Sarge has a cottage industry and giving tours at the sports hub. They were going to put a hold on those. But no, let me help you out. You're not allowed to go down to NBC 10 Providence and just walk in. Number two, when you walked in,
yeah.
What struck you?
So you walk onto the set right away, and normally we have blue lights for NBC. We switch those to red in serious situations.
Now it's like red. It's like code
you
red.
Pay attention. This is important. Yeah.
It's a serious, different levels. It's like national security.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like the lights that are down on you as you're on camera?
No. Like the background lights of the set are usually blue, but we flip those to red. If you're really...
Oh, yeah. Jesus. So like if some woman, Helen, is making supper down in Rhode Island.
Right, we'll just go blue.
She turns it on and it's like, boom.
Yeah, what's
red?
Going on? Yeah, what's going on?
She goes...
Yeah.
Just puts everything down.
Yeah, everyone stop talking.
You turn on a 70-inch screen, and it's like having a Kenny Rogers roasters open up across the street from
it.
You. It's just
yeah,
your
it's coming
entire
at you.
Living room.
You're in it. Yeah.
It's and just
it was
glowing
team
red.
Coverage for the first 15 minutes.
Wow.
Newport Parade still on, though.
Hell yeah.
As of now.
Yeah, for the moment.
That'll get changed, I'm sure.
But tune in tonight to find out what's happening with that. How did it impact your what do you get, about 45 seconds to do sports?
Yeah, we got cut into a little bit there yesterday, no question.
But your sports end up being coronavirus related?
Yes, very coronavirus heavy. Yeah, absolutely. The Big East not letting guys into the locker room for post-game, and the Ivy League canceling their tournament.
Okay, so the fans are there, though, right?
Fans are still allowed for the Big
East
tournament.
So let me get this straight. So you can't have the Ivy League tournament here in Harvard, and New York is pretty much in a state of shutdown. They're telling people to work at home. Don't go to work.
Yep.
But come on into Madison Square Garden, baby. Everybody get on the T of the trains. Everything, the Grand Central Station. Everybody welcome. All welcome to the Garden. Come on down. The hell are they doing?
I don't know.
You're going to have to tune in tonight to find out more. I want to talk to you more about this, but Brad Stevens will be coming up next.
Yeah,
You got one more.
No, I got some good news for you, though, in terms of the coronavirus, specifically for you.
I don't think it can wait.
Yeah.
Do it.
Is it the Masters tickets?
It is the Masters. How'd you know that?
We'll do it at 1 o'clock.
Okay.
We'll do it at 1 o'clock.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Everybody, it's the moment you've been waiting for.
Hot takes.
Well, you could clearly see there's a gap where the tip digs in and then boom, it pops up.
Oh, yeah. Zoe and Beetle.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
This ball game is over. The Celtics losing streak is over. And the Boston Celtics, for the 6th consecutive year, are going to the playoffs. They survive a near collapse tonight at the Fieldhouse. But they play a strong final minute, some big plays and buckets down the stretch from Marcus Smart, and the Celtics win it by a final of 114 to 111.
All right, Zolak and Bertrand, it's Hardy in for Bertrand, joining us now on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Head coach of the Boston Celtics, Brad Stevens. Hello, coach.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good, coach. Congratulations getting to the playoffs there. I know you're obviously not done, but that is step one. You talked about how important the type of game that you needed to win last night. How do you feel coming out of that game you guys did overall?
Yeah, well, I didn't even realize until the media told us that we had clinched that playoff spot. That's always something that I think, I never want to take for granted because it's we've been really fortunate to have been in it for the last 6 years, and it's hard to go through a regular season and to go through the ups and downs and be able to kind of navigate that and navigate the emotions of it. And yesterday's game was a perfect example. It's been not a perfect week for us. Obviously we've lost 2 games that, we could have at least had a better chance to win. Certainly the Brooklyn game we gave away, but the Oklahoma City game, we were right there with a chance to salt it away and didn't get it done in either of them. And so it was good to finish that one out. Even though the last, 10 minutes weren't perfect, I thought we had a lot of good contributions and certainly showed a good deal of character there late. But we got to get a lot better to get to where we want to go. But I'm really happy with, every one of these last 6 years, our guys have put us in the mix. And, you don't have a chance to be there if you don't get in the mix. And so I'm thankful for that.
Well, Coach, you mentioned, the last 10 minutes of that game and obviously a different outcome, like you said, than you had against Oklahoma City and some other games here recently. But are you still concerned with just the way the end of the game is going in general, the 20-2 run last night, the inability to close out Oklahoma City, the run that obviously Brooklyn went on. How concerned are you with the team right now, just fourth quarter on?
Well, the Oklahoma City game was different. We were only up one going into the fourth, so that was a back-and-forth game. And, you know, they had a three-point lead with 50 seconds left and or a minute left or whatever it was. And so, you know, if we would have come back and win that one, they would have felt like we do, right? They would have felt like we had a chance to take that and we didn't do it. But the Brooklyn game was, you know, certainly one that, you know, the comeback was, you know, everything that we did led to that. And we were able to overcome it the next night, didn't play as well. Obviously against Oklahoma City as we'd like, but that game was a little different. Last night was just, those last 10 minutes were concerning from the standpoint of we got a little ISO happy late in the game. And then, you know, guard of Oladipo's caliber catches fire. Those scores can hurt you pretty quick.
So I guess another way of asking it is, are you identifying any patterns right now, and especially ones that you don't like the look of?
Yeah, and I thought we did a better job at the end of last night's game with that. You know, we spent some time, or a lot more time than even normal, on, you know, things that we haven't been beat by in the recent past until last week when we got together on Monday, and we ended up, as bad as the middle of that fourth quarter was, we ended up playing a great last 2 minutes and figuring out a way to win that game when things could have gone the other direction. So, listen, there's going to be, every time you go through these seasons, it's really hard because new trends crop up all the time that you've just got to nip in the bud in those moments and make sure they don't continue. And hopefully you've done everything you can by the time the playoffs start that you're not putting yourselves in the positions that we did over the last week. But we've gone through periods where the first quarter was our issue, the start of the second half was our issue, the end of the second quarter was our issue, you know, the middle, whatever. So you kind of go through those throughout the season. And hopefully we can put it all together as we move forward.
You know, Coach, you're talking about these trends you have to adapt to. And talking about this past week, well, whether it's the ups or the downs, is there anything that you felt you maybe could have done better going back looking at it, whether it was a timeout, a rotation, maybe leaving this guy in too long? Is there anything you wish you could have had back or done differently?
For sure. I think you go through every game, though, and you do that. That's no different than the 20-point wins. You know, the rotation stuff is tough because you're also balancing and trying to manage for a whole season.
Yeah, you're banged up.
Especially when you got Kimba on a minutes restriction. That changes how, you know, Smart's rotation last night was solely based on the fact that Kimba couldn't rotate that way. You know, those, some of those things are, you know, are affected by how you can rotate your best guys. And then, you know, like last night, I thought even though our bench didn't score it well, I thought we held serve when those guys were in. And I think a 16-point lead went to 11 or 10 or something. But it was really, you know, our starting five that Indiana took the lead on. And so, you know, it's not necessarily any one group. It's not any one person. We just all have to be better as a team. And me as a coach, I've got to help put us in the better positions to do that. You know, there's certainly times, you know, after every game, but after those close losses, you go back and you just, I mean, I would hope that nobody's harder on me than me, and, you know, and I deserved it. You know, after that Brooklyn game, it was just brutal to watch. It was brutal to think about. In the Oklahoma City, the very end, obviously, we would have liked to have had back. But, you know, those are things that you make sure you don't put yourself in that position again.
Brad Stevens on the phone here with us. So, Coach, after the game last night, you said we still got 18 games left. It's hard going to the playoffs. And to reiterate what you said at the beginning with this, you didn't even know that you had clinched, but you said we're far from a finished product. We've got to start ascending soon. What particular areas do you think need the improvement the most before you go into the postseason?
Well, if we don't get healthy, which we're hoping we get healthy and it should be no time, right? But we still, I think, I don't know what our total games are that we've played with our five best players playing. I don't think it's 20.
Yeah, I don't think so.
We still don't know, you know, and I know that sounds crazy. We've got an idea. But that will also, you know, if we're able to get those guys, that'll also help, you know, help other guys off the bench be in better position to soar with their strengths instead of be counted on to do a little bit more than they need to be able to do right now. And I think that's really important, you know, and hopefully we get to that point. Assuming we don't, then we have to make sure that we just keep finding, you know, the three or four or five guys that best complement, you know, the four that are available and go from there. But I'm hopeful that we'll be fully healthy soon, knock on wood, and I'm hopeful we'll stay that way. You know, I guess you'd give away 75% of the regular season for good health to be good health when the playoffs roll around. It'd be ideal if we had a longer time to prepare with the whole group, but that's part of it. That's all right. We've got enough time to ascend here. We just have to do it.
All right, Coach. We always have like one fun question for you. Jason Tatum's taco sneakers. Have you seen them? And has Taco Fall wanted a pair of them?
I feel bad saying this. I've never seen them. Did he wear them? Or I didn't pay attention to him. Was he wearing them last night?
I'm trying to figure out if he's wearing them last night.
I don't know if he was.
No, I don't think he was. No.
I can't keep up with these guys' shoes. A new pair of shoes again?
Yeah.
It used to be the case that we like had to break them in. Remember, you blew it out, and then you know when I was playing Division III, you had to blow out both sides of it to actually get a new pair that you had to buy for 50% off. And now these guys just get new pairs of shoes sitting in their lockers every shoot around and game and everything else, and they hand them to the crowd when they leave, and you know. Pretty good life. I can't keep up with the shoes. Ever since he had the shoes that tied their own laces, I just said, you know, I can't keep up. I didn't realize we were doing that now.
That's pretty cool stuff. Now, I'm a lot older than you. When I was in high school, I had the original high-top Chuck Taylors, you know, the canvas ones. And
did you really?
Yeah. Those were our game shoes. Don't laugh.
And I don't believe
our colors,
that.
I swear to God, our colors were green and gold.
No.
And a bunch of us painted the canvas. We dyed it green to have green shoes. Like these kids don't understand what it was back in the day.
I didn't. So that must have just preceded me because we wore Converse most of high school, not all of high school, and then most of college I did too.
Yeah.
But obviously times have changed, and you know, but nobody was knocking down my door with a shoe deal at the time, and so I guess I should have been a little bit better. If I would have been better, I would have had more shoes.
I think that's something I might get caught up in, though. Even if you were never part of this sneaker culture as a player or as a coach in college.
Totally.
To like be around it now. And I saw that show that airs on NBC Sports Boston the other night. It's like a 30-minute shoe show where they go into this store in New York and they just go sneaker shopping with various people. I'm like, I've never been that guy. But if I were around guys who are into it like you are, I could see myself getting into it.
So I took my wife's son and daughter. We went to a few years ago. One of our players. We visited him at his home in the off season, and he showed us around. It was a beautiful home, and he had a full closet of his game sneakers, and it was enormous and completely full. And from that point on, like my son became a little bit of a sneakerhead, right? And he's toned it back now, but every time he would get a new pair of shoes or somebody would give him a pair of shoes, he'd keep them and keep them all in his closet. And yeah, there is the shoe deal's a big deal, and it is pretty cool. I love how our guys do, you know, give them to fans. There's been plenty of times where we've had kids visiting from out of town and they find them after the game, and it's pretty neat how they give back in that regard. But, man, they have a new pair of shoes sitting there every day. We never run out of shoes, that's for sure.
All right, Coach.
I appreciate the time.
Thanks for the time.
Be well, guys.
All right, okay. Good luck.
I'll talk to you. There's Brad Stevens there, head coach of the Boston Celtics, into the playoffs. They clinched last night with a win, but he says, yeah, they got work to do. A lot of it's health. He's right. That starting five, that group, he doesn't know what the exact number is, but his guess is less than 20. That would be my guess, too. Number of
said it there, too. Rotations and that stuff, and when you're doing minutes restrictions and all that, it's hard to get guys in any sort of rhythm.
All right. Zoe, do you...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.